At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
What's going on? What's going on? This is your boy J Will, and you're listening to the J Will podcast. We got our guest back on again, Bishop Hamner. He'll be back on here in just a second. But this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered a legal, health, tax, or professional advice of any kind. We are not responsible. Let me say that again, ladies and gentlemen, homies and homettes. We are not responsible for any losses or damages or liabilities that may arise from the use of this podcast information. You can find the J Will Podcast homepage on rss.com under J Will Podcast. To donate to the podcast, please feel free to find the donate feature on the homepage. You may do so via Cash App at $JWillPodcast. Follow my music page, James Williams Music on Facebook. And this podcast is brought to you by J Will Music Production LLC. And it's also sponsored by Mr. Chris Crane and Charlie's Music Factory. For all your recording and consulting needs, contact Mr. Chris Crane at charliesmusicfactory.com. Listen, go to your mobile device and to the Play Store and download the Live 365 app. And once you do that, it's a free app. The Live 365 app, and type in J Will Gospel Radio. I have gospel radio on 24/7, and it's called J Will Gospel Radio. And if you have any questions or you're a recording artist and you want your music potentially featured on my radio station, hit me up, LeeWillTheLetterJ@gmail.com. But right now, enough of that. I'm bringing my friend Bishop Hamner to the stage. How are you, sir?
I am well, J. Will. How are you, sir?
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Hold on one second, Bishop. I wanted to do this for you. I know how much you love shower caps. You know what I'm saying? I had to put the shower cap on for you, Bishop.
No, yeah, you didn't.
We're gonna do this episode in the shower cap because Bishop loves shower caps.
I like that. Listen, it looks significantly better on you than what I see on the street. I can tell you that.
Bishop, this thing looks horrible. You being so gracious right now. Let me get this thing off. All right, Bishop.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, I had to poke fun at you just a little bit because
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So we're back again, and the last time we talked about turbulence ahead. Wanted to talk about this subject again, turbulence ahead, part number two, ladies and gentlemen. But Bishop also had some things he wanted to discuss about the unisex parameters or unisex, you know, ideology, if you will. So go ahead, Bishop.
So one of the things I want to address in regard to the prophecy that we had talked about before and in our exchange, some might have thought it was extreme concerning schools closing. I have documented information concerning schools that are going to close. I already prophesied about the markets, prophesied about the job loss, and we're going to deal with that. And we have facts concerning job loss. We have facts concerning the harbor on the California West Coast shores and how a lot of those are going to go barren. But what I wanted to address is something that is a very serious issue in America. It's not unique to America, but unfortunately, it's taken on too much steam in America, and that is a unisex culture, and that is a transgender culture. One of the benefits of being in America, and we're going to have to be able to separate both as believers in Christ. And my heart also goes out to all of those who are in our Catholic faith. I am not Catholic, but Paul said, even if Christ is preached in contention, he is happy that Christ is preached. Even though I am not Catholic, do not subscribe to a Catholic philosophy, theology. My heart still goes out to all of those Catholics who lost the Pope, and our prayers are with that denomination. Our prayers are with those people as they deal with this grief, and potentially May 5th or May 6th, they'll be able to elect a new Pope, and they subscribe that their first Pope was Peter. So our hearts and prayer are with them. But when it comes to unisex, that concept itself, and transgender, and I believe that there was an undercurrent there, which is why we are in a current state that we are in when it comes to the leadership. The leadership in any country is going to reflect its citizens. And our current leadership is reflecting us. How our current leader arrived to his position of authority, duly elected, is because of unisex, transgender issues that are real. Unisex, or the practice of the unisex concept, is real. Transgender is real, but we still have to respect that we are in America. So in America, one of the benefits of being under the Constitution is that if I am transgender, or if I believe in a unisex concept, I can live in peace and practice my religion in peace. So that's one of those concepts that even though I'm not Catholic, I can still pray for those who are Catholic and offer condolences for those who subscribe to that theology in the Pope. Same with the transgender and the unisex. Even though I'm not walking in that path, since they are Americans, they have protections under the Constitution, and I stand with those protections because I am American. And I want to talk a little bit about the unisex. So the concept of the unisex clothing, it is a deliberate trend that actually emerged around the 1960s. And it first appeared in the New York Times in 1968. And the whole goal was to, in the fashion industry, to create a garment that both men and women can wear, separating the concept of sexes. So another well-known figure in the 1990s, in 1993, Prince. I remember when the artist formerly known as Prince, he changed from being Prince to just a symbol. Didn't want to be recognized as male or female, just wanted a symbol. So this unisex culture, this transgender culture, this other culture, it is real. And it is something that is gaining steam, and it is something that we should be mindful of. But as an American citizen, anyone who practices unisex culture, which is wearing clothes that either male or female can wear, I am not begrudging you. I pray for you. But the scriptures teaches us that Yahweh made male and female, and that there should be a distinction between male and female. And when you look into the book of Exodus and into the book of Leviticus, it outlines that there has to be a separation in garments, that a man cannot wear women's clothing and a woman cannot wear man clothing. So the fact that sexes should be separate and have their identity, that is a very important tenet of my faith. Even though it might not be an important tenet of someone else's faith who is an American, and they might claim to have a faith or belief, I respect that. But it is a real issue. But I can have two thoughts in my brain and reconcile the two and not allow that fear to overtake me. So prejudice and paranoia.
Bishop, before you go on, let's go back just a little bit, because I got a couple of questions in there. So you're talking about the 14th Amendment.
Yes.
Okay, which it gives everybody equal protection under the law.
That is correct.
Okay, I just wanted to clear that up. And the question I have for you, well, it's more like a statement. The interview that they did with Prince and asked him why he changed his name to a symbol, he said it was because he wanted to be emancipated from Warner Brothers. So I thought it was a contract deal. Are we saying that it's something different?
Yes, it wasn't just a contract. So Prince was a person who not only was heavily into drugs, He was also heavily into being able to pleasure himself with any sex that he chose at that time. So it wasn't just a contract issue with Warner Brothers, which was an undercurrent. Another undercurrent was childhood bullying that he had to deal with. And he wanted to separate himself from that as well. So there are several layers as to why he changed from being Prince to a symbol. But the whole undercurrent of that was this transgender unisex culture. And Prince, it was known in those circles, kind of like a P. Diddy circle, before P. Diddy was P. Diddy, that Prince just enjoyed the company of humanity. It didn't matter if it was male or female or both at the same time. He didn't care. So he experienced love life, and he also participated in recreational or professional drug use. And at the end of his life, it was actually drug use that took his life. So yes, I'm in agreement with you. One of the undercurrents were Warner Brothers. Another undercurrent was the fact that he was being bullied. And a whole nother undercurrent is and was this unisex transgender or androgyny, which is a condition in which characteristics of both sexes are clearly expressed in a single individual. And anytime you are practicing or walking in this philosophy or psychology, you're going to exhibit strong personality traits, and you're going to experience, you're going to have strong feelings for both. You're going to have strong feelings for males, strong feelings for females. That's going to be a human emotional trait that you're going to gravitate towards. But again, the scriptures in Exodus and in the book of Leviticus, and also bringing Genesis, because Genesis says he created them male and female from the beginning. Exodus and Leviticus tells you that the clothing that even that you wear, not only that one has one organ for reproduction purposes, the other has another organ for reproduction purposes. Their clothing was supposed to be made different to keep a separation. So unisex in the 1960s, Prince in the 1990s, in the 2025, transgender and those fears are real. Like, I don't support a transgender male who was biologically born to pass semen through his body. So a female cannot pass semen through her body. She can receive it, but she can't pass it. I'm being specific for a reason. So if you were born to pass semen through your body, I don't believe you should be able to compete with another individual who themselves were not created to pass semen through their body. And in the transgender realm, you can pass semen through your body and compete with what I'm calling the opposite sex that is going to be female. But I can weigh the two. As an American, they have a right to attempt. And as an American, I have a right to block that through legislation to prevent that. The other issue of the transgender, that is a very strong undercurrent. I have three daughters. Glory be to God, the Almighty prevented any of them from suffering any great harm to their lives. And as a father, I would not have wanted my young daughters in junior high to have to share a restroom with a being that was created to pass semen. I would have a problem with that as well. But again, I'm not going to allow the problem that I have to convolute a decision that I need to make that is going to have greater ramifications of my long-term success. But I understand the fear of androgyny. I understand the fear of those strong tendencies and personalities. I understand the unisex culture. I understand the transgender culture. And to your point of the 14th Amendment and the freedom of speech, I understand that they have a right to declare that. But I'm not going to allow prejudice and paranoia to cause me to make a decision that is going to impact me negatively later in life. So we grew up later in life, and they're talking about this woke culture. They were so concerned about the woke culture and fighting against that because of the transgender, because of competing in sports, because of using restrooms, that they forgot about the sleep culture. And I know some people might, well, what is the sleep culture? The sleep culture specifically, and it is an something that we need to deal with, it is selfish leaders empowering empty people. And that's what happens when you're asleep. You have selfish leaders empowering empty people. And when sleep people are ruling over you, the scripture says, when the blind lead the blind, what happened to them, Jay Will?
They both fall in the ditch.
That's exactly what we are experiencing now. You have sleep people. Yes, sir.
You said a mouthful here. So do you think that, are we saying that the reason we have the current leader right now is because of the transgender issues?
Transgender, yes. Woke, yes. And currently they're called identity politics. And that identity politics, don't forget abortion as well.
Yeah. But abortion. I got to say though, if I don't like something, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm prejudiced. It's just that I don't like it.
So the word prejudice is not necessarily as negative. We all have prejudices against certain whatever it is. So just because I have a prejudice does not make me a terrible human. What makes prejudice something that works against you is when you use prejudice to work against your interests. We all have implicit biases within us, what we like, what we don't like.
Right.
It's when you are in power and authority and you are allowing your prejudices to actually guide decision, critical decision-making objectives that could either impact you or someone else. So it's not terrible to use the word prejudice and that someone has a prejudice. And my point is, I don't use my prejudice to make a decision that could impact me long-term negatively. I would not. And I also don't use paranoia to factor into any decision that I'm making long-term. I don't use identity politics to factor into any decision, because when you do, you're going to end up hurting yourself. So prejudice, if you're using that to make a decision in your life, you're going to negatively impact yourself, and you could potentially negatively impact your neighbor. Same thing with paranoia. All of those, both prejudice and paranoia, are both rooted in fear. And according to the scriptures, perfect love is going to do what? Again, Jay Will, what is perfect love going to do?
Remind me.
Cast out all fear. And you know that. Check that out. You know that. Perfectly. Yes, you know that. No, perfect love casts it out all fear. So I do know that if I'm dealing with prejudice or paranoia, there is an undercurrent of fear there. And I need that alleviated. And I spoke to that fear. I do fear when I had young children. If a transgender who was created to pass semen walked into a restroom with my daughter who was not, I too would have a prejudice against that. And rightly so. But I'm not going to allow my paranoia to cause me to bust into that bathroom and wrongly accuse somebody or something. So there is a way to allow people to exist, coexist, without using that to make a decision. Same thing with birth control, or same thing with abortions. I am not in favor of either, but there are times when birth control or abortions are necessary. And I don't decide that. A doctor who is medically trained should have the ability to decide that. And the Almighty aborted a child. And I know people don't like to use that term, but the Almighty definitely aborted the child that David had with Bathsheba. That child was perfectly healthy. But Nathan told David, bro, that child got to die. Well, yeah, that's exactly. And that, guess what happened? That child died. So, but that wasn't the first, and that wasn't the only. We want to continue in this. So that unisex, that symbol concept, that transgender concept, all of that needs to be dealt with, and it should be dealt with. But as an American, they have a right to coexist. And if we want to generate or create laws to put parameters around them, that's perfect. That's what it's there for. But we don't just use their ability to exist to somehow alter a decision that we're going to make. So I want to go to 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter.
Now, before you go to that scripture, now, I think that we all have a right to coexist within reason.
Yes.
Okay, within reason, because they're having this big powwow right now. Is where they're teaching preschoolers and kindergartners reading these transgender books to them, and they're trying to take the control over whether or not the parents want their children to be exposed to that type of stuff or not. I mean, we should not be. That's why I say within reason. If you're gonna be transgender, unisex, you do what you do. Leave our kids alone. A preschooler or a kindergartner has no business learning anything about sex. They can't even read. They can't even write or spell their own names, most of them, unless they're a child prodigy. And I just think that within a certain frame, it has to be, there has to be some reservations about this, because we just can't coexist without parameters set in place.
We're saying the same thing. That's what laws are for, to set those parameters up.
Yeah, but some of the lawmakers want this to continue to happen, and they set it in motion to begin with. That stuff would have never happened when you and I were in preschool and kindergarten. But because the far left started doing this transformation stuff going on with our governments, they put this stuff in place and kind of strong-armed the schools into teaching this stuff.
Right. Well, just to be clear, they're on the left and the right of politics. So both Republicans and Democrats and liberals, all three have constituents who embrace transgender.
Right. But I get that. You know, I have family members who are, bad for the other team, if you will.
Right.
But the teaching of our children and indoctrinating our children at young ages, that wasn't a Republican thing. It wasn't a liberal thing. It was a far left thinking thing, and wanting to force feed our children and indoctrinate them and expose them to things that are way before their time.
Okay, so we're in agreement, but so that we're clear, because it's been branded as far left, and I understand that, but I'm just letting you know, there are a lot of Republicans who embrace transgender rights. It was the first Trump administration that permitted prisoners to have sex changes paid for by the government. That was not an Obama policy. That started in the Trump administration. I'm just letting you know
I'm not saying that there's not Republicans that are against transgenderism and stuff like that. What I'm saying is the children, what grown people do is their business. But I'm talking about teaching this stuff to preschoolers and kindergartners.
Well, but I'm there are Republican teachers who believe this as well. There are Republican superintendents on school boards that believe this as well.
That believe they that have, to teach the kids this stuff?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. 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 No. Me. First of all, me and you agree that is wrong. Identity politics is what caused us to put it in a particular slot and say, I'm only going to associate it with them, but I'm not going to associate it with them. So I'm letting you know, and I'll use this, the Republicans and the Democrats, identity politics teaches you that the far left is only with Democrats. And the far left in identity politics teaches that everybody on the far left embrace this. What they don't tell you, because it's identity politics, hence the term identity, identifying it with them, they don't tell you that they too believe it. Just like Republicans who say they don't stand with homosexuality because it stands against the family, they are simply closet, have not came out open, but they are still homosexuals. So I'm just letting you know, I know the transgenderism, that concept is acceptable in America. The scriptures that I read says it is not an acceptable practice for a believer today. I'm just letting you know, identity politics is what slotted it with Democrats. And Republicans believe in transgenderism, transgender rights, and transgender books, and transgender teaching in classes as well. Just letting you know, not just left. It has been successfully branded as something that the left only embraced. I'm just letting you know, that's not the actual case. And we're going to present facts to you concerning that, that it is also in the Republican Party that, again, it was a Trump administration that supported transgenders for adults. And a lot of the sporting events where transgenders were competing, they weren't necessarily in liberal states, in Republican leaning states. So it identity politics put it on one person. That's why I started off by saying prejudice and paranoia can cause you to work against your best interest. I'm saying it's wrong across the board. I don't care if a Republican or a liberal. I don't want anyone to think that only Democrats, liberals, or left support transgender rights or support transgender books being read to children. Republicans do as well. They just have not been branded and they've not been outed, but they too embrace it. They just needed the power to set an agenda. That's it. But they still believe in it. And they're still going to support their right to exist. Identity politics has successfully marketed it to one particular political organization. That's why I'm talking about it, because prejudice, again, and paranoia can cause you to work against your best interest. Working against woke culture, again, the sleep culture that's out there, the people who are asleep, again, are selfish leaders empowering empty people, and these empty people are lying to you, telling you that they don't believe in it, but they are actually partaking in it. It's going to come out later.
Yeah.
About how many in the Republican Party actually not only supported it, but brought up the legislation for them to have the rights. It's out there. It's going to come out. And I'm going to continue to bring it out just to show you that they just successfully marketed it for one particular political party. Me and you agree, and there are others that agree with us, that whatever rights they have as children, children should not be taught about this in school because they are too young, frontal lobes not fully developed. But remember, there's a case of a man who took his wife to court because she was forcing her son to become transgender. And he fought it. He won, but the court still gave her custody. And when the child was in her custody, put the skirt on him, put the dress on him. So it's out there, and I'm against anything that stands against what the Almighty told us, how he wanted us to coexist with one another. But yeah, they have successfully branded it as an issue for liberals, far left, and Democrats. But they weren't the only ones. Selfish leaders empowering empty people use that as a wedge issue, identity politics, only to gain power, knowing full well that they had constituents and people who authored documents supporting it to teach it.
Huh.
That's just the truth. And we're going to bring that out. Can I get to that scripture, or is there something else?
No, go ahead.
All right, so let's go to
I can stay on that. I can go back and forth on that a lot. Because I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I don't care who puts it out there, whether it's a Republican or Democrat or, you know, Bernie Sanders and his mittens. I don't care who it is. We should not be teaching kids. And as a matter of fact, we shouldn't even be teaching adults some of this stuff that they try and teach these kids in school, man. I just think it's horrific that we have come into such a place to where we have to train up our kids in the way that they should not go. And when they get old, hope they don't depart. That's what that scripture says, right? Train up a kid.
Train up a child in the way it should go. And when he is old, he will not depart. I'm amen with you.
But that's not what we're doing, though. We training up a kid in the way that he shouldn't go. And when he gets older, we hope he don't depart.
I'm just letting you know, they use that as a wedge issue in identity politics, but they still practice what they told you they abhorred. That's what I'm telling you.
It's working.
Yeah. No, it did work. But the people who voted for it are suffering. I'm not saying that me and you are suffering, but on a large whole, there are a lot of people who are suffering because they could not get past those issues that are real issues. As I outlined in the beginning, I would not have wanted my daughters to deal with that, nor do I want them competing against that. That's a real issue. Only difference is they just didn't tell you that they were doing it, but so are we.
Yeah.
That's the part they didn't tell everybody. They should have. Of course, they wouldn't tell everybody that because they could not secure power.
Why would they?
Well, right. Well, they wouldn't tell you the truth because they wanted the power. So, but that's why, again, you don't want prejudice and paranoia, even though we all deal with it. You can't use that as why you are going to make a particular decision. If you do, you're going to often work against your interest. So 1 Samuel 8, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but it's an interesting concept. 1 Samuel 8, 1 through 18, it came to pass that Samuel's old, and he made his sons judges over Israel. But unfortunately, his sons did not live up to his standard. His sons were not men of integrity. And after a while, they perverted judgment. So the leaders in Israel stood up to Samuel and said, you are old and your sons aren't walking in your ways. Before he died, the leaders of Israel told Samuel, make us a king. So again, the leaders in Israel were blinded. They were blinded because they couldn't see past Samuel. Almighty created Samuel, so Almighty could have created another one. But the current leadership structure, which was Samuel's sons, they were doing a terrible job. So the people rose up and said, I need a king. And then the Almighty told Samuel, Samuel, don't be despondent. They didn't reject you. They rejected me. Yeah. And that's what happens when we allow prejudice or paranoia to cloud any judgment that we're going to have, because we're blocking the receptors that we should be looking for God. And those receptors are blocked because of the paranoia and because of the prejudice. So now we can't even hear from God. So Almighty told Samuel, they didn't reject you. They rejected me. But this is where the current state comes in. And we're paralleling how unisex, transgender, homosexuality, abortion, me and you agree that it's wrong, that we wouldn't want our children taught that. But we also agree that as Americans, they have a right to exist in this country. The other party used that identity politics to paint the opposing party. And we are only allowed two systems in America because you can only be a Republican or a Democrat. And even if you're an independent, you still got a caucus with either the Republicans or Democrat. Our Constitution is not set up for three parties, so there'll never be a three parties. There'll only be two, but you can run as anything, but you got to caucus with one of the two. That's a constitutional provision. They successfully branded one just to get power, not telling you that they too embrace these concepts as well, established that in their administration the last time that they were the president, and they have other local municipalities doing the same, making provisions for them, because I want you to know that these Republicans decrying all of that, they got children that are transgender, and they love them too. So when we look at Samuel, Samuel told them, all right, since this is what you want, which is a king, Samuel's dying, you don't want Yahweh to rule you, you want a king. This is what Samuel told them was going to happen to him. And there were many people out there before the administration switched. There were several who told people exactly what was going to happen to this country. I'm just letting you know, I was one of them. I didn't have this platform, but I was one of them. And I was saying it. This is going to happen. This is exactly what Samuel told them was going to happen once they get a king. And this is 1 Samuel 8 and 11 now. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He shall take your sons, appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run chariots. He will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make him instruments of war and instruments of chariots. He will take your daughters and confectionaries and to be cooks and bakers. Point being, this king that you're going to get is going to take your wealth, take your goods, and then use them to enrich himself. He's going to consolidate power so that he can have power over everything and everybody. And this king is going to send you to war, and this king is going to cause you great harm. Even though they knew it, they heard Samuel say it, said, give me that king anyway. Give me that king anyway. That was paranoia. That was fear. That was selfish leaders empowering empty people. And when they do, you were concerned about the woke culture. Now, again, you don't have to worry about children being changed, their sex being changed, because you don't have a job that's providing you with insurance anymore. It worked against you. And they didn't tell you that they too believe in transgender concepts. They also didn't tell you that they also believed in abortions and that they had abortions themselves. They didn't tell you any of that. They just used that to gain power. And now that they got power, What are they doing with it? I want to ask you a question. When Christ came, wasn't Christ concerned about the poor?
Yes.
All right. So how can you have the richest man in the world tell the poorest nations in the world, we're not going to help you? So they don't line up to me, but I understand how he got the power. He got the power because people did not take their time, just use prejudice, paranoia. They were asleep. And now that these leaders have empowered these empty people, selfish people, just like in Samuel's day, they were told that this was going to work against you. Things are happening. So one of the things I want to bring up was that.
So wait a minute. What poor countries? Be more specific, can you, if you don't mind?
So USAID was a government agency that was used as to help poor nations, underdeveloped, that were not fed. Somalia was a nation that received aid. Many of the countries in Africa, but not just the continent of Africa, many of the countries in the continent of India received aid. Currently, the people who are receiving a good portion of the aid are going to be those in the Gaza Strip. They too were receiving aid from USAID, not just them. Catholic organizations like Meals on Wheels, not that Meals on Wheels is associated with Catholic organizations, but Catholic organizations that deal with feeding the needy and the poor, they were actually funded from USAID. They're no longer getting funded. That was going to the poor. And that has been cut off. And because of the cuts that have been made in his administration, just like 1 Samuel 8 chapter talked about, there's a Head Start preschool that since the Head Start budget has been cut, funds frozen, and Head Start is a program that is designed for children to get meals in the morning and to get education pre-kindergarten to give them an advantage. Many of them have learning disabilities, come from households that are beneath the poverty line. Those schools are already closing now because, and they're in Washington, D.C. area, they're closing because they don't have the funding for the teachers, the staff, or to feed the people. A lot of the food banks that already had their money from the first quarter, they are running out. And the last time we spoke, we told you the first quarter is going to begin, but the second quarter is going to get worse than the third quarter. It's going to be full tilt. First quarter, we already got several Head Start schools that are going to close because of this pullback. And again, Christ would not have done that. But this leader who was going to take all power, put him to himself, according to 1 Samuel 8 chapter, this leader who was going to take what you have and give it to themselves and consolidate power, which is what this leader is going to do in 1 Samuel and exactly what's going on now, is going to negatively impact those who don't have the means and resources, and they're going to fill it. So it's already starting. And, you know, the question is, what do we do? And, you know, the scriptures teach me that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Almighty like a river, and he turneth with us wherever he will. Now is not the time to ask the government. Now is the time to ask the Almighty have mercy and to begin to educate people that transgender issues are wrong. I think homosexuality issues are wrong. Teaching children about this is wrong. Let's not just say one political party is teaching this. It's not the case. Both political parties are teaching this. The question is, whenever they get in power, who is the one that is going to actually help the needy? Who's going to help the poor? And, you know, to me, it is the one who is going to follow the principles of Christ the closest. And that's where I would lean to. So, you know, Christ was clear. That's why I don't push against this current administration. Christ was clear in Matthew 23, 1 through 6. He spake to the crowd saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Look at that when you get a chance. Matthew 23, 1 through 6. They sit in Moses' seat. He says, so they're in the seat of a power. So all that they ask you to do, do. But he told us don't follow after their works because their works were evil. And I'm telling you now, I'm praying to the Almighty that hearts are shifted in the King and that mercy follows, not praying against him or the leadership, praying that the Almighty have mercy on all of us. The Trump administration is taking steps to potentially reduce USAID's role in providing foreign assistance and or transferring some of the functions currently assigned to USAID to other state agencies. That was as of February 3rd, 2025. And he switched it from being a separate agency and he put it under the Secretary of State, Rubio, and he's going to now oversee that under the Department of Security. But again, the goal is pray for them in that position. Pray that the Almighty have mercy, but don't follow after their works because their works are evil, meaning that they don't have good intentions. The sub-Saharan Africa, they received benefits. Several countries in Europe, they received benefits. Middle East and North Africa, they received benefits. South and Central Asia, they received benefits. East Asia and the Oceania countries, they received aid, but they're no longer going to get it. But according to Christ, we're supposed to take care of the poor. But according to what happened in 1 Samuel 8 chapter, who this person that they want to set up is actually going to consolidate power and take your children in and actually send them to war. And he's going to take your goods and put you to work for them. Not working for you, but put you to work for them. And I'm saying, I'm not going to allow selfish, lazy people to empower selfish leaders who empower empty people to impact my decision-making abilities concerning transgenders that I know is not something that I want and not something I want taught to my children. But going forward, I'm going to make sure I understand that it's not just the liberals who practice this. It's not just the Democrats, but the Republicans also. They're not a champion for it not to occur. They're simply champions to get power to do what they want. And you were a man in the past that would understand this. Wouldn't it be terrible if somebody came and put you in the back of a vehicle, shipped you off to a foreign country, and then you found out that you couldn't come back to America and that you couldn't talk to anybody and that you weren't given due process? Is that how you want to be treated as an American? To just snatched up, taken to another country, and not given due process? I'm saying, would you want that to happen to you?
No, but are they doing it to Americans?
Yes. They're doing it to Americans. Yes.
Are they doing it to Americans that have, people that have visas that violated the terms of their visa?
No, they're doing it to Americans. So, as you know, in your line of work, databases got to be updated. And then also, not only databases got to be updated, sometimes people got similar names. You can get the wrong person.
Oh, so it wasn't done on purpose. It was done by accident.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, not on purpose, but it's okay to just.
Oh, no, I'm just saying.
No, it's okay to snatch people, take them to another country. But First Samuel 8 chapter said this is exactly what's going to happen.
Well, I got to answer that question, Bishop. I got to answer that question.
No, yes.
And my honest answer is I cannot answer that question without knowing all the parameters involved with that person that just got deported. If I don't know all the specifics, then I can't make a rational judgment of whether or not that person should have been deported or should not have been deported. Now, me, an American-born citizen, if I'm deported somewhere by accident, and we can prove that it was an accident, and then correct the mistake, you know, you may still owe me some pocket change, but I'm just saying.
But once you deport it and you don't have due process rights, it's too late.
But due process rights as an American-born citizen or due process rights as an illegal?
So.
I'm just trying to ask.
No, I think that's a great question. It's a great question. As anyone that is on American soil, legal or illegal, according to the Constitution, if you illegally come into this country, you still are afforded due privileges called due process. Illegally thrown. Slavery. I don't know if you know, but the slaves who were brought over here, and they were slaves, but they still are afforded what's called due process. So due process is a constitutional right for anyone's feet that are on American soil. If you are on American soil and you are not American born, somebody accidentally pushed you on American soil and you were standing right on the country border and they pushed you over. Once you are over on U.S. soil, you are now afforded due process so that somebody can push you right back over that border. So due process is not solely for an American-born citizen, not solely for someone with a visa, not solely for someone who is visiting. If you are on American soil, according to the Constitution, you are afforded due process. You are afforded the right to stand before a judge before they kick you out. Due process is just a part of it. And again, 1 Samuel 8 says that when you read it in its entirety, 1 through 18, this leader is not going to operate within the parameters of what you're accustomed to. They're going to go outside of those parameters, consolidate power within themselves, and that's exactly what happened. But that's not what I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with the underlying issue of being able to separate so that this type of leadership won't happen again, because we will be able to distinguish between our paranoias, our fears, real or not, no matter, prejudice or paranoias, and then operate on that. That's going to be, to me, our path going forward, is to be able to use discernment, to use reasoning, compassion, and figure this thing out before we put ourselves in a position and make life significantly worse for us. We don't want life worse. And like tariffs, let's talk about tariffs and how that's going to impact. We haven't seen it yet, but it's coming. So a tariff, for those who don't know, is actually a tax. It is a tax on goods that are made in another country that are coming to Americans, and the person who manufactured that is not going to pay it. So Americans who might use that or whatever country, you're going to have to pay. Well, the reason why it is a tax on us, whoever is receiving the goods from another country, is because that country is not going to pay. That means higher prices for us. This is how tariffs are going to negatively impact an economy that is global. And remember, the last time we talked, people tried to say that America somehow is losing the tariff war because China's taking advantage of us. Some people are saying intellectual property, China is still our intellectual property. They might be, I believe it's true, but they still have not surpassed us. Our gross domestic product is still the highest. So tariffs that would be placed on China, and we do a lot of business with them. We get a lot of toys from them. We get a lot of clothing from them. Same thing from Taiwan and Vietnam. A lot of clothing, a lot of toys, a lot of our medical supplies. They were actually produced in other countries like India because they can produce it cheaper than we can and sell it to us. Well, when I put a tariff on those countries, that means my medicine has to go up. That means the toys that I was going to buy have to go up. That means the clothing that I'm wearing, that has to go up. That means the phones that I purchased, that has to go up. Businesses operate off projections. Right now, the harbors in California are significantly, the ships that are offshore, significantly lessened because businesses don't want to order any new product because they don't want to order too much and not be able to sell it, or they don't want to order it and have to pay an additional tax because they can't pass that on to the consumer. Goes back to being able to think about an issue before you put a king in charge of you who's going to make your life worse, or a leader in charge of you who's going to make your life worse. The people who voted for this man are the ones who are going to be impacted the most again. So those ships that aren't coming in, for those who don't know, California, Miami, all of these port countries, Texas, those are heavily union jobs. That means those union workers who won't have the same volume, they're going to lose their jobs. Small businesses who dealt with these other nations minus the tariffs and sold goods, they can't wait. They're going to lose their business because they can't provide a product because they can't pass that on to the consumers. Margins were already low. So these people who voted because of important issues, transgender issues, unisex issues, abortion issues, real, they're real, competing in sports, real, using the same bathroom, real, you still hurt yourself because a person who consolidated power, they failed to tell you that they too embrace transgender. They still embrace unisex. They still embrace abortions. They still embrace all those things they use to gain their power. They do it themselves. So people thought they were supporting a leadership that was aligned with them. And I want to let people know, you have really been marketed to if you think you got anything in common with a billionaire. Our current administration said concerning higher taxes or tariffs to the farmers. Remember, I told you they weren't going to be able to sell their goods. The last turbulence, you're hearing the farmers now say, we can't eat these costs. We can't sell our goods. Go on the Facebook. You'll see the farmers for Trump say, we were wrong. We didn't know this is what he was going to do. Well, you should have read 1 Samuel 8. 1 Samuel 8 would have told you this is what was going to happen. And I'm just trying to get people to see that not only did they do this just to get power, they actually believe in what you stand against, but you thought they identified with you, but they are actually doing what they convinced you that only the other people did. We don't do that. They do that. No, they do it too. They just wanted the power. And now that they got the power, they are hurting you, and they don't care that they are hurting you because they are well taken care of. So again, a poor person should never think that they can identify with a billionaire, which is why when Christ came, who was the maker of all things, the ruler of all things, had all the wealth in the world, pearly gates, walking on the streets of gold, he came down with nothing. He came down with nothing so he can identify with those who got nothing. But for you to have nothing and to think this rich man is going to do anything for you, all I can tell you is ask the man that was beat on the side of the road and ask him what that rich man did. Do you remember that story, J. Will?
I do, but go ahead and tell it, Bishop.
No, you tell. No, your turn. I can't do all the talking. What do you remember about that man that was beat on the side of the road? Do you remember what the rich man did?
He walked by him.
Okay, so that's how rich people identify with poor people. The Jew walked past him. The pious, according to Christ, they all walk past.
Right.
Why are we thinking that rich people are going to fight for those who don't have nothing? Christ came with nothing to fight for you, to show you how to fight with the power of the Spirit and the power of the Word. And he did not tear down leadership because he said, they sit in Moses' seat, do what they tell you, but don't follow after their works because their works are terrible. So 100 days of this administration, the foreign policy, global chaos, Americans are weakened, humans are suffering, according to the Center for American Progress. Global chaos, American weakness, human suffering. First 100 days. But that's exactly what the 1 Samuel 8 chapter 1 through 18 told you was going to happen. And they simply use identity politics as a wedge issue, but they forgot to tell you that they too have abortions. They forgot to tell you that the children are transgender and they paid to have it changed and they just kept it under wraps. They forgot to tell you that they are teaching their children the significance of expressing themselves and doing this, and that they have Republicans on the school boards who are pushing this same agenda. They forgot to tell you that, but they use it to consolidate power. And the scripture says to heap upon themselves even more wealth. And that's exactly what they're doing. To let you know that they were not convicted in this way was that the minute other rich people told them that you are impacting us, I thought they were convicted in this. Well, their convictions were short-lived when their other rich people said, you better stop hurting us. You can hurt the poor all you want. You can fire everybody you want. But when you take $100 billion from me, $1 trillion from me, that ain't good. Rich people know that it was chaos. The Trump administration laid off and attempted to buy out federal workers and to add to the pool of workers searching for work. Over 75,000 federal workers accepted this buyout by the Trump administration, but it actually was illegal. So again, they took power, brought it into themselves, used it illegally, all to give rich people more money back. That's what Trump's new budget is going to do. It's going to cut the taxes of rich people to give rich people more money back. Well, you see what happened when his peers start losing money. They start telling him, you better change this tariff shenanigans because you're hurting everybody. On top of hurting everybody, they are no longer feeding the poor, which is outside of the realm of Christ. And they're not telling you that they're having abortions as well. All of that is transpiring right now as we speak. And rich people are the ones telling Trump he's going in the wrong direction. People who are losing their jobs, who voted for him, my heart goes out to them. But this is what happens when you allow prejudice and paranoia and sleep people which are always going to be selfish leaders, empowering empty people. You're always going to have the poor taken advantage of. And that's what we have now. The poor are being taken advantage of. They're not being fed. Rich people, once they start losing money, they shifted their conviction. My conviction ain't based on wealth. It's based on the word of God, which is why, even though I'm an American, I can say I support a transgender and his right to be one in America. I can say, as a believer, I don't agree with it. And I can say, as a taxpayer, I don't want any of my tax dollars going to fund him,
right,
or them, or they. I don't want none of my tax dollars going towards that. Want none of it allocated towards that. But the only way I can impact that change is to get involved in that political process and create laws so that it won't happen. But I'm not going to use the fear of it to put somebody worse in charge. And that's exactly what we saw in 1 Samuel 8, 1 through 18, because Samuel was getting old. His sons showed that they did not have good leadership skills. And the people said, we want a king. And even though they were told what was going to happen to him, and I'm telling you, many people told everybody, your right to exist as a citizen, your wallet is going to be impacted. Life is carried out in America is going to change drastically. A lot of people talked about that, but all people saw were these other issues, and that's why they lost up. Matthew 23rd chapter says, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering in to go. So these people are hypocrites. So they're telling you that you shouldn't support transgender issues and that the transgender issues are coming for you, but they don't tell you that they support them. They just were able to successfully market that against liberals to gain power. And now that they got power, so it just so happened that you got black skin color, so do I. They're saying that our heritage cannot be taught in schools because of wokeism, DEIism. It can't be taught. They can't teach that black people were slaves in America. You can't teach. But we were focused on transgender being taught, but they didn't tell you that they're not going to teach that you were a slave. And the reason why we have 1964 laws on the books wasn't because black people were unqualified. You're talking about DEI brings in the most unqualified people. This current Secretary of Defense that we have over the Pentagon, the Secretary over the Pentagon, he is a sleep hire. He is a selfish leader empowered by empty people. He has zero qualifications, and he does not have the benefit of having black skin. He has very white skin. He has zero qualifications to occupy the position that he has. They said they're fighting against DEI because DEI puts in unqualified men and women who are either black, Asian, or Indian, who are unqualified, and they got a white DEI person over the Pentagon. Hypocrites. They say one thing and do another, but it wasn't a hypocrite. It wasn't
You talking about Pete Hegseth?
That guy.
Yeah, he's the Secretary of Defense overseas, the Defense Department.
Yeah, the Defense Department.
Yeah. Now, what does he have to do with DEI?
That's the point. They fought against DEI because they said DEI only appoints unqualified people. DEI only appoints unqualified people. That's why they got rid of DEI, because it only hires unqualified people. That's what the narrative was.
So we're saying that Hextech is unqualified?
Yes. Yes, thoroughly unqualified. He is a DEI hire because he's unqualified. He's unqualified. I'm just pointing out the hypocrisy.
Well, you know he was in the military.
That does not make you qualified to run the Pentagon because you were in the military. You also know he bankrupted three companies that are veteran companies that they have put him as president. He bankrupted three of them before he got there. Did you know that?
Right.
He also did that.
What I'm saying is that he's a graduate from Princeton University, and he also was a commissioned officer, an infantry officer in the military. So I guess he looked good on application. Now, whether or not personally he's qualified or not, I don't know. But I'm just saying. No,
okay. I'm going by his results.
Okay.
So over the Pentagon, used an improper means of communication. He's continually using improper means of communications.
You talking about the text message when we were getting ready to bomb?
That is correct. But yeah. he hired an inner circle, and then he just fired the entirety of that inner circle. I'm just letting you know they're saying DEI. They're saying DEI hired unqualified people. I'm letting you know the hypocrisy. This guy is thoroughly unqualified to run the Pentagon based on his resume. Yes, that's what the generals are saying. The ones who are currently there, that's what they're saying. He's unqualified. And the people that he hired and brought on his staff that he just fired are also saying he's unqualified. And based on his actions, he's unqualified. But remember, DEI, the reason why they're canceling the program was because it only appointed unqualified people. But again, they're not dealing with 1964. The reason why they had to even put EEOC in there was because they wouldn't give anybody a chance. DEI actually only hired the most qualified and the creme de la creme. That's what was hired under DEI programs. And I'm just letting you know, just like they use transgender, they're using DEI, they're using the poor. Just letting you know, prejudice and paranoia. And now we got this guy over the Pentagon who is a poster child for DEI, completely unqualified, in this position, wreaking havoc. More is going to come out about him, what he's doing, and his inability to function in that position because of his lack of qualifications. I'm just like, they're hypocrites. They're all hypocrites. They are smoke and mirrors telling you one thing and do something else. What I'm just trying to establish is the significance that we are the ones who have to go deeper going forward and look at the entire picture, not just the small picture, because we are the ones at the end who are going to really have to clean it up and suffer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We the ones got to clean it up. Look, listen, there's going to be a lot of mops, man. I mean, a lot of buckets. We got to get our mop and buckets ready. Because it's going to be clean up on aisle six. Clean up on aisle America. It's about to happen.
I just want a hose and a squeegee.
I don't want to mop. Your squeegees ready. Again, more and more is going to come out that these things are transpiring. And I'm just like, the scriptures tells us what we should be doing now. We don't pray for the demise of anybody, and I don't pray for the destruction of any administration. I pray for all my leaders. Again, you can be ordained by God, but mentored by Satan, and I totally understand that.
Yeah.
I'm praying for the success. I am also pointing out the avenues that they use to simply gain power. And going forward, we're going to have to make sure that the people who are in power know how to use power and know how to use power to benefit everybody. And I agree with you. I don't want nobody in power that's going to take my children and force them to be something that they are not, or pay for something and not notify me as a parent. I don't want any of that.
Right.
But there are ways to fight it without giving people who are empty, empowering, these are selfish individuals, selfish leaders, empowering empty people. You don't want these people in charge of your life. Because again, when the blind lead the blind, everybody falling into the ditch. You don't use fear. Perfect love casts out all fear so that you don't have to worry about paranoia or prejudice making decision. And then when you see these people operating in hypocrisy, you have to be able to say that there are certain people in the administration that is showing that they are hypocrites. There's something that I told you, this is going to be a cash grab. They've already put worms inside of the Treasury Department, Social Security Department. They got access to your Social Security number. They got access to your addresses. They got access to all of your accounts. Later, you're going to hear about America being held hostage because they negatively impacted the Treasury Department. It's going to happen. You're going to hear it. Just wait for it, because people thought that rich people somehow identified with them. But when Christ came, he didn't come rich. He came poor. I don't understand it, but I do know that they're telling me that they are against transgender, and they got transgender children, and they're buying transgender books along with unisex clothing, allowing them to be called that. And they got Republican on their name. But they're trying to make it seem like it's only somebody else. It was all about a power grab for them. And now that rich people are losing their money, they're saying you can't do that. Whatever you do, it can only impact the poor. Rich people, tax cuts, you got to pay more taxes because somebody's got to pay for it. Going forward, we are all going to have to be more engaged, more involved. So, you know, these things won't continue to happen.
Well, you've
get involved.
You've disclosed a lot of information.
Well, the good thing is it's on record. All of this will be able to be vetted.
Yes, sir.
The last time I was here, I prophesied that these schools are going to be closed and they're going to start. Farmers won't be able to sell their goods. It's out there. They're not selling it. It's going to be there. It's going to come out that Republicans have legislation on the books for transgender rights and transgender issues. You're going to be like, wait a minute. I thought we were against this. Well, you know, they are Americans and they got they're going to come up. They're going to come up with another spin, but it's going to happen. And then, you know, I don't know where the people are going to turn to, because now you got both sides. That's why I'm just saying you got to look longer and further into these individuals and these issues and just make sure they're not using it to gain power. Right. Anybody that's just after the power, man, I mean, they're not going to try to benefit us, not on the bottom. They don't care about us. I don't see it.
I guess we're all going to be wearing Bernie Sanders mittens.
I like that. No, we don't know. So I am cut from the same cloth as Frederick Douglass. I'm cut from a Frederick Douglass cloth.
Okay.
What he was, that's what I am. Colin Powell, I'm cut from a Colin Powell kind of cloth. Condoleezza Rice, I'm cut from that cloth. John McCain, I'm cut from that cloth. That's what I am. That's what I am. I just know what I'm not. I'm not what this current administration is standing for. I'm not. But yeah, I'm down with Frederick Douglass and all that he supported. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
100%.
Well, Bishop, I'm cut from the
cloth. You just got to find out what political affiliation Frederick Douglass was with, and then that'll tell them what affiliation I'm with. But I'm not going to support anybody that don't support freedom. So Frederick Douglass supported freedom.
Yeah, he did.
For everybody.
He did.
For everybody.
He did. I mean, he's primarily responsible for the 14th Amendment happening.
That is correct. God, it's amazing that me and you on the same page. We got to get people out there. They got to get informed. But you just, there has to come a point where you say, you know, that's a bridge too far for me, because I know what you're going to do when you get in charge. And we have to look out for people who are less fortunate than us. We got to find a way to help the underserved. And we can't allow them to be the sacrificial lambs for prejudice and paranoia. We can't, because they don't have a fallback. They don't have a champion. And those who name the name of Christ, they're supposed to be their champions, and they're supposed to be able to see the hypocrisy and to be able to, just wade through it to see what the real big picture is and what, you know, how can you help? How can you aid? And then understand, you know, when these people are just lying through their teeth, they just lying. They're not conservatives at all. They don't care about, you know, proper financing. They are still, I don't know if you know this, they are still gutting watchdog agencies. There are certain agencies in our government that protect poor people, that protect you from buying a car for $50,000. And when you drive it off the lot, the engine falls out. You take it back to the dealership and he says, ain't nothing I can do. And then the bank says, well, I gave you $50,000. I need my money. There's agencies that protect that. Stock purchases, predator lending practices. All those agencies are being gutted. All the watchdog agencies that watch over politicians, why would you want to destroy an agency that makes sure that you're following the law? Why? You're reducing that because of government waste. Okay, so you said there's government waste. So the government waste is an agency that's actually protecting poor people, making sure nobody's taking advantage of them. And those are the agencies that you're deciding to gut. I'm just saying, I mean, to me, it's clear. You don't want any oversight because you got bigger plans out there. And that's what they're doing. They're just gutting all the oversight, gutting all regulation that protects water, that protects air, gutting all those agencies, gutting all those laws, removing them, to get power. No, it's going to keep coming out. They'll hear about it. They'll hear about it. Turn the tap water on to come out black.
Well, I'm sure you and I are going to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. No, me and you will. Yeah, we don't mind.
We don't mind. And, Bishop, any final remarks?
Again, we always want to pray for our leaderships. The number one goal here is to dark patterns are deceptive. User interface designs intended to manipulate users into making choices they would have otherwise made, such as subscribing to unwanted services or giving up personal data. They are essentially tricks used on websites and apps to influence users in a way that benefits the company or platform, often at the user expense. So these dark tactics are actually dark patterns. Deceptive practices were actually used for individuals to gain power. And now that they use these deceptive practices and designs to manipulate the users on different platforms, different companies, to influence them, we, again, are going to have to just make sure we're ready to have the broom, the mop, the bucket, and just be there and clean up America. Pray for leadership. Pray for us. that we're able to get through it.
All right. Don't forget your squeegee, ladies.
No,
and
don't forget your squeegee.
Don't forget the squeegee. All right. Well, don't wait till you get sick to go to the doctor. Get yourself checked out. A1C, blood pressure, cholesterol, and all that good stuff. And get some life insurance. Don't leave your family strapped in case something happens to you. We like chicken dinners. Well, Bishop might like chicken dinners. I don't eat chicken dinners. I'm a vegetarian. But you get the picture. We're tired of selling chicken dinners to pay for your funeral. Get some life insurance. If you don't know anybody, I know some people. All right. Until the next time, may the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord God give you peace. We're out of here.